Welcome to Wild and Awake, an online retreat where you deepen your consciousness, arouse your courage, and choose with wisdom. We are exploring the question, how do I live my best life right now? I am your host, Kari Vantine.
Hello and welcome to Wild and Awake. Today we have with us Delisa Hawking. Welcome, Delisa.
Kari, this is going to be so much fun.
I'm so excited.
I've been looking forward
to this. I'm jumping up and down.
We're going to have a great time today.
We are. We absolutely are. I'm going to jump right into your bio so people know who we're talking about and a little bit about where we're going to go, because this is going to be a fun day. Delisa Hawking received her psychic gifts from her grandmother Eloise and great-grandmother Belle. Before she became a psychic medium and transformational coach, Delisa led a very different life as an executive in the casino industry in Las Vegas. You know, only imagine. She has made matters of the heart, living authentically, and teaching people how to elevate their own joy, her core mission. In 2017, she founded Spirit and Spark, a now nationwide company devoted to connecting individuals and groups with top spiritual and wellness service providers. It's a beautiful company. Just hats off to you. Delisa has trained with industry superstars such as Tony Robbins, Dr. Brian Weiss, Dr. Bruce Lipton, and Dr. Raymond Moody. Delisa has also had the privilege of working on missing person, mysterious deaths, and cold cases, providing loved ones with information and closure. In 2020, she produced and directed and starred in her own Las Vegas stage show, Psychics and Spirits, at the Haunted Binion's Gambling Hall and Hotel. I wish I'd been there to see it. Delisa has a unique way of seeing through layers of energy to get to the root of fear, scarcity mindset, and self-sabotaging beliefs. She acts as a powerful guide for those seeking to deeply transform from their old way of being.
So just like a few things.
Just a few very, very interesting things. And I just want to comment, because I'm a nature lover, that I noticed the light shifting and changing behind you. And when we got on the show, I'm not sure if you can all see that my orchids are blooming. My orchids are blooming. So it's just, we're just held in this sort of beautiful transformation as we're heading into the spring. Delisa, where I'd like to begin, I'd like to just jump right in on a piece that most people listening are going to be hearing, the piece about you being a psychic and having received that from, you know, multiple generations. And you weren't aware of it when you were born. It actually came to you a little later. Would you share with us that story so people can have a sense of who you are and how you landed in these abilities?
Yeah, it's a strange one.
I'm sure it is.
I mean, imagine, right? Like, you're going along in your life and everything's just kind of cruising. And then one day everything changes. I mean, it's literally what happened. So it's on my dad's side of the family. My grandmother Eloise had the ability to get premonitions. She would call it her ESP. She would see full body apparitions, you know, walk through her home. She lived in Idaho. And she said her grandmother on her farm would see apparitions. And she tells it like, oh, well, my grandmother would see a ghost walk along the farm alongside her husband that was working in the farm. So when he would come in for dinner, she'd be like, hey, honey, so you want to know who was working out in the farm with you today? So, I mean, I shouldn't be so surprised. This is what I'm doing for a living. But I still kind of have to pinch myself every once in a while. My dad is very intuitive. He and I have had, you know, numerous conversations over the years just about how our gifts work and the intricacies of it. But I owned a dating and matchmaking company at the time this all happened. I was working planning events for a business school in Texas, literally like minding my own business.
Well, I don't know if a dating business company is minding your own business, but yes, minding your own business in the psychic world.
Yeah, we can talk about the dating stuff in a minute, but yeah, so I was just doing my own thing in Texas, in the DFW area. And I always was fascinated with spirituality and psychic abilities because of my family. And I decided at the very last minute that I was going to fly to New York and I was going to attend a workshop on synchronicities. Now, this is how ironic my life is. So, you know, I get a hold of the Omega Institute in Rhinebeck, New York. I'm like, do you have a spot left? You know, I found a really cheap airline ticket. All of these things, a huge long story that I won't get into at the moment, but I decided to go up there. And that is literally the trip where everything changed. I know I was destined to be on that trip. I don't even know if there's an alternative timeline in this incarnation that if I didn't go on the trip, what would have happened? I mean, I feel like I was meant to go, I was led there. And on the last night of the trip is when everything happened. And I was staying at a friend's house. I had met him through a project I was doing in Las Vegas years before. And we're just sitting there again, minding our own business. And we're watching the Saved by the Bell, the unauthorized movie, in case anyone's wondering. And the phone rings. And he gets a phone call that his beloved aunt had unexpectedly just died. She had fallen down a flight of stairs. And I didn't know his family. I didn't know him like that. And, you know, I give him my condolences. I go to the guest bedroom. We just decide to end the evening. And I go to sleep not thinking anything else. And that night, the aunt who had just died hours before presented and asked me if I could deliver a message to her nephew that she was okay. She made it to the other side. I have chills when I tell you that story because that moment, that connection with his aunt that I'd never met, never seen a photo of anything, her coming to me, it's still even to this day, like it feels like a profound gift that I was lined up. Maybe it's an agreement that she and I had, you know, before we were ever born to come together in that way in this lifetime. But she was the catalyst because nothing like that, at least to that degree, had ever happened to me. Mm-hmm. And I immediately started having flashbacks of my grandmother and sitting with her when I was a kid and hearing these stories and how she would see these apparitions. And I'm like, wait a second, this is happening to me now? And so I went into the kitchen, I delivered the message to my friend and he's like, well, what did she look like? And I could see her. So I described it and he goes, that's her. And a few days later at her service, he snapped a picture of her that was on display at the service. And I was eating lunch with a friend back in Texas at that point. And I saw my phone go off. And you know how you can see like a thumbnail of it on your phone? I start crying in the restaurant. And I was telling my friend the story when this all happened and the picture came over on my phone. And I showed my friend, I said, this is her. This is how she looked the other night when she came through. So I decided to keep pulling the thread. And I thought, well, if this one amazing woman, right after she left her physical body, could come through to a stranger and deliver that message, what else is like, you know, knock, trying knock, to
knock, knock, knock.
Yeah. So then I just started practicing, like putting real focus, real effort into figuring out if there were more things that were trying to come through. So it started off as a mediumship experience, but then it quickly turned into channeling, you know, and having somebody's name at the top of a piece of paper and just starting to write all kinds of things that would come through for them. So that's how it started. But I did not wake up one day saying, all right, I'm going to go be a professional psychic medium, have my own Las Vegas show. Like, why not? Like, that was not on my agenda, but I think it all happened exactly as it was meant to.
Absolutely. And do you know if yours came through, I think you told me before, about 7.5, 8 years ago. Do you know when did your grandmother get hers later in life too? Did she ever share the story with you?
It's a great question. I think she always felt it inside of her. And I think when she was a kid hearing the stories of her grandmother, I think she was always aware of it. My grandmother, she actually was a postmaster for a post office in Idaho. And she was a renegade. And I remember her telling me, oh yeah, I'm not supposed to be working. You know, your grandfather, who I just love and adore, he doesn't, you know, want me to really work, but I'm going to go do it. And I'm going to go make my own money and I'm going to be independent. So she was always kind of this renegade doing her own thing, which I appreciate so much about her. And we were so close. But I think that she was actually getting ready to make her transition off of Earth and out of this lifetime as my gifts were coming in. So in a very strange, amazing kind of way, I feel like she transferred her abilities over to me. Mm-hmm. And I would imagine when I get back to the other side and we're all sitting around a table talking about this, that this was something that I agreed to be like, oh, I'll be the, you know, granddaughter of Eloise. And sure, like 2017, like, yeah, let's just go for 15. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, August of 2015 mm-hmm. is when it all happened.
Mm-hmm. And I'm curious in your knowledge of people who are psychic, because this is now your business in many ways, is gathering together people who are high level psychics or intuitives, and your business is about this. So your knowledge of when people come into their powers or their gifts, are people born with these abilities in them latent? Or is it something that you think is passed on from someone else? Like, what's your understanding? And it's okay if you're just kind of riffing. I'm curious, because a lot of us out here, especially in these days, are feeling our sense of our extra senses a little bit more intuitive. Almost every woman I work with actually is deeply intuitive, and I'm curious.
Yeah, I think we all have it. I do suspect that there is something that goes on either with a gland or DNA of families like mine, that we have very profound psychic and mediumship experiences within generations. So I think that there is something I was likely born with that amplified the antenna. Mm-hmm. But I have met way too many people at this point now where I look at their energy, I'm like, oh, you're psychic, you know? But I think a lot of people keep themselves small, or they don't want to face potential judgment, or, you know, what's someone going to think if I tell them I'm psychic? So I think everyone can do it. I think it's a muscle or a gland or whatever. And I think the more that you work it, the better you get. I think there's a power in setting intentions and what you're willing to work with and what frequency you're at, so that you're not bringing in everything. Because I was the kid playing
That's
with the Ouija board.
That's important.
Yeah. Yeah, because I was playing with the Ouija board at my grandparents' house, you know. Knowing what I know now, I would have been probably a little bit more intentional about what I was doing and what questions I was asking.
What's my
future husband's name? You know, I wish I could remember what the heck came out, because I can't read for myself. It's so annoying. So yeah, I think everyone can do it, but I do think it practice and the willingness to receive the information and be a good steward of the information is really important.
And I was thinking it might be a little bit like some people being more skilled at playing an instrument, whereas, you know, I was terrible at playing the clarinet. My sister was gifted at playing the flute. You know, it's like we both had the same amount of lessons. So maybe there's also some, like, we're all capable of it, but some of us have a little bit more wiring than others.
Yes, I can't play the clarinet or the flute, so you got me.
and I don't think what I do with the clarinet would be called playing. It was terrible. Well, one thing you just touched on, I want to pull back to, because it feels really rich and important. It's something that I call the witch wound, and it's a place where and I've experienced this in our culture, especially right now, where so many of us are becoming more and more aware of our gifts or our abilities that were either latent or for all of us, however it is that you might be with it. And I'm kind of looking out there saying, and those of you who are listening right now who know that that's you, right? Just kind of feeling that right now. We're talking to you right now. The fear of actually stepping into those gifts, the fear of, you know, what will people say, what will people think about me, is I'm aware of, it's rooted right now in our culture, but it also goes back, you don't have to go that far, you know, the last 100 years, but also tracking throughout history. I've looked, you know, my research, because it's a thing that interests me, is, you know, before AD, you know, BC. Hello, we have a friend saying hello. Who's our friend?
This is Miss Frankie, and Miss Frankie loves to jump in when I do interviews and meet with clients. She is a Gemini, and she loves to get involved in everybody's stuff. So it does not surprise me when you speak of the witch wound that she decides to jump up here.
Oh, yeah. Hello. Yes. So my question around this is, because it's something I'm really aware of, is that we also have a history that carries with it women who step into their power of any kind. I want to say it's not just stepping into their gifts that are extra sight or knowing, but really stepping into their larger power, have had persecution at times throughout history. And the witch wound is something that I believe we all carry, sort of a thread in us that keeps us a little bit more secret, a little bit more scared that what we've got is actually a little dangerous. And so I'm wondering, when you first came into these gifts, I mean, you talk about it with some humor, but I wonder what did that feel like for you? Especially, you know, I've got an idea of what it's like being in Texas, and being in Texas with like this extra skill set that suddenly appeared must have been really interesting. What was that like for you?
It's such a good question, Kari. I've been through different waves with the witch wound. When it first happened in 2015, I was very curious, very excited. So I think I rode that wave for a little while. But I remember like an ex-boyfriend, you know, sending me messages on Facebook, like, oh, if you're really psychic, then tell me something about my life now. I'm like, get lost. I had a family member tell me that she saw me, you know, surrounded by demons. I moved away from Texas and moved back to Las Vegas where my family is. And that's where I had my show. I had a retail store, all this fun stuff. But the energy of Las Vegas became so overwhelming, and I am incredibly sensitive to energy, that I decided to move to a small town in Texas. I'm back in Texas. And it's a question I ask myself regularly. Why am I here? Why am I still here? When am I leaving? And not because I necessarily want to run away from it, but I've also just come to realize that there are places or people, you know, that you may come in contact with that are ready, and other people that may not be. And it's not necessarily in judgment of where they're at in their journey, but I also just want to be around people that are welcoming or open-minded when it comes to all kinds of things. I've had people in my town tell me they won't have lunch with me because of my profession. I had someone else tell me that my soul needs to be saved. So even, you know, 7-8 years later, I'm still coming across people that feel like it's okay to put me down or attack me for my gifts. But I've also learned, as part of the four agreements, don't take anything personally, the good or the bad, because it's all a reflection of what's going on inside of them. Of course, easier said than done. Yeah. And when it happens, you're like, you know. But I'm hoping that at some point, hopefully in our lifetime, there will be more tolerance for people of all kinds, and that people that may think that we're doing something bad or devilish, that they actually can see how much light and beauty surrounds it.
Mm. Yeah. And something that I'm aware of about you and following you and looking at the way that you're presenting in the world is that the real agreement, the looking for the higher vibration, those people who are working with you are actually really tuning in into the light. The light waves of energy, the information is, because we have a choice about what kind of information comes through. And I know that in my own work as well, it's like what comes through, we get to choose what the filter is. when people are starting out, and this is when you started out with the Ouija board, and I'm curious, when people are starting out, and some of the people I work with say, I'm afraid of the information that's coming through because I'm worried about who's sending it. Like it might be from something that's evil. Do you have a practice that you use to like make sure that the container you're holding is only letting in something that's light and on the highest, you know, I use the words like, you know, of the highest intention, the highest care for those of us who are here.
Yes, I think in my experience, at least, it's going to echo or mirror what you are doing, what your frequency is at, what your intention is. So just like if you were going to use a pendulum or tarot cards or a Ouija board, any of those tools could bring forward, you know, a lower frequency. But if you sit and you know your intention and what you're working with and what you agree to work with, and you hold that within your own body and mind and spirit, I think that you align with that and that's what you bring in. You know, I've been asked how many bad things have come in, you know, over the years. Very, very, very few. And whenever something has shown up that was a darker energy, it came with a message that was really supposed to help the person heal. Mm. So I think it depends on, you know, what kind of energy you're carrying as a conduit. I mean, there's different things that I teach people in psychic development around water intake and what you're eating and are you moving your body? Are you grounding, meditating? I mean, there's the list that I'm sure a lot of people have heard that really holds that integrity in your energy so that when you show up, you show up as the highest form of the energy that you're wanting to work with.
Yeah. And that's what comes in. That's the filter. Yeah. Thank you. I'm wondering as we're sort of surfing in this territory of getting to know you, but I also want to drop in the question that is running through all of these interviews, which is how do we live our best life right now? So I'm just putting that into the conversation because I think it's going to unfold and come out as we keep talking, but I want people to actually realize that although we're talking about psychic energy and all these pieces, this really is about how are we showing up in this life right now, right? How are we showing up right now? And there's, when you're sharing with me a little bit about the dating company that you worked with and how that was such a eye opener. It was actually, I see it as like a door, you know, the knock on the door that says, hey, there's actually something more here. What could you share a little bit with everyone here? Like, what was it you discovered about working with people in the dating world that then, you know, made it make so much more sense to do the work you're doing?
Oh, Kari.
Right? Because it's there.
Yeah. Yeah. So I started a company. It was called Love Frog Kisser. And I had it in, you know, a few different locations. I was operating out of speed dating events, right? Matchmaking, all the fun stuff. And it wasn't very long after I started the company. I'm like, I hate this. I know hate is a strong word, but I just did not enjoy it. And I love people, you know, I love working with people, collaborating, figuring out how to fix something. And what I learned was, at least in that iteration of having that company and, you know, what I was doing, it was too superficial in terms of getting underneath to what was really going on. I look back on it now, you know, of course, hindsight, and I realize, oh, I would be framing my questions and my conversations with my clients very differently if they were my clients now. Because I remember, you know, even having a conversation with one client. And of course, you know, they wanted the blonde. And I had this amazing person that was available that was brunette. And the client said, nope. Not interested. I told you I wanted blonde. And that's just one example of how I felt misaligned. But this was before, you know, I had my big awakening come in. And so I didn't realize like why I was getting underneath my skin. And I think I was intuitively picking up on the real issue of being unavailable.
Yes.
And that people will sabotage themselves, their love lives, they'll sabotage all kinds of things to keep themselves safe. And I was dealing just with person after person after person that wasn't really available. Yet I was trying to come up with something to make them available and pair people together. So it was just not aligned in a way that felt that it was, I didn't feel like it was bringing people together in a real romantic, vulnerable kind of way.
Did you find that, I'm curious, because I know, you know, that dating world is a huge place that probably a lot of our listeners are involved in right now, trying to find a partner. Did you find that people were willing to do the work it took?
No. But I also, in fairness to them, it wasn't a spiritual dating company. It was a very traditional matchmaking, speed dating company. So somebody that I was attracting in, like, yeah, sure, I'll go sit at a table and meet 10 women in a night at a speed dating event. Like that, they were kind of used to that. They had come to accept that, but they didn't sign up to work with me to go deeper because I didn't even really know what that container meant or felt like. And it wasn't until, you know, a couple of years down the road when all of my gifts dropped in that I then could look back and go, oh, you weren't even available. So it was like I was trapped in a triangle of trying to find a solution that at that point in time really wasn't going to be found.
Yeah. And I think, you know, moving now forward to the work that you're doing, I'm curious, like, is your work, it has to be going into a different level. Like the questions you're asking people are actually about changing. Or what are they about?
Oh, it's night and day.
Yeah.
I love that I have all the gifts that I have, and I like asking people questions, right? And blending the two together, I have found just this amazing connection between the two. So I'll give you an example. A client will come, I do all my sessions over Zoom these days. A client will show up. I will, in my mind's eye, pull up their energy in front of me. And with my psychic abilities, I see where things are stuck. I start to see imagery and symbols. I hear words and phrases. I'll feel things in my own body. So I've got my antenna up, collecting all this information, like playing Pictionary, you know, with spirit. And then I have all of that amazing information. I'm like, I see they're stuck here. They're blocked here. They got that, 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 that. And then I can sit back and go, okay. And my brain and my psychic abilities start like formulating it in a way that I've now got a framework. I know what questions to ask. And I've had clients tell me, because typically I like to do like four sessions with a client that like wants to move, like really shift. Like they really want to shift. It's not like a one and done, you know, like, hey, am I going to go out on a date on Friday night? These are the people that are like, all right, I really need to shift something. And typically in four sessions, those clients, they're like, I've been doing stuff for years and didn't figure this out. Mm-hmm. And I am not a therapist by any stretch of the imagination, but I am using my channeling abilities and question asking skills to create a big opening for momentum and accountability. Mm-hmm. You know, you asked me a minute ago about like, how do we live our best life now? Mm-hmm. And the word that came in was accountability. Because I feel like that's what keeps people shackled so much energetically, is that they're in these triangles of being a rescuer or attracting people that are victims. And until they really just own all of the parts of themselves and they say, you know what, I'm going to take accountability for all of this and everything I'm feeling and thinking. Once you take accountability, everything changes. But until you're willing to say, that's all me and I'm going to work to heal this, then you just usually keep repeating the same patterns. Mm-hmm. So I tend to attract people in that are like, I know there's something in there that I keep triggering. I know that there's something underneath the surface that I keep like bringing into my life, but I can't figure out why.
Yes.
And then we're like, well, it's, you know, and they have this amazing realization, and then they go, oh, wow, like that changes everything. I'm like, yeah, it does. Welcome to the party. Welcome to the party. So I don't think change has to be hard for it to be worth it. But I think it all goes back to accepting accountability. If I'm mad at you, that's me. Like, I may need to have a boundary there. But if I'm feeling that, and I take accountability for how I'm feeling about that, and I ask myself, like, why is that ticking me off right now? Oh, it's because I want to have control. Oh, so where do I feel out of control, right? So it's like going down the staircase and finding that energy root and pulling it out and healing it. So I just feel so excited about all the stuff that we get to do, you know?
Oh my goodness, right. Because we get to, in this place of accountability, we get to have, I want to say like agency. I use the word agency a lot in my work. So agency in our life, like we have choice when we're in a place of taking accountability. I'm curious. So when we're playing in the soup right now, and I'm going to see if I can figure out how to word this, because when we have accountability, right, when we're making these choices and we're owning what happened or what has happened, how does the parts play in about when something's fate or destiny or free will?
Ooh.
Play in your work or how you see information?
Yes. So I see it. That's a great question. I often explain it as, there are certain points in our life that I believe are fated. I feel like before you incarnated, you said, all right, here are like the five things I got to make sure I do.
So I think like you coming into your gifts at a certain point in your life.
Yeah. Right? Oh yeah. 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 That was one of those like, all right, Delisa, you better make sure you get this done. We don't want you having to come back again. So figure it out. So I think that there's like a handful, perhaps, right, estimation of the things that are predestined. Then I think there's a lot of free will. I also think that there are multiple exit points. And I think that could explain why there are near-death experiences that people have. You know, they took an exit point and they decided to get back on the freeway, right? But I think that there are certain exit points that we design into our lifetime. That we may take or we may not take, and they're there if we decide that we want to leave the physical body. But how do they come up during sessions? I would say past lives are very interesting, and I found that looking at past lives of the client, that they hold keys and treasure to things that are maybe coming up in this lifetime. And so I think that would be part of, you know, the Akashic records or the destiny, you know, of that person's experience. But when it comes to a specific question, like if somebody says, oh, when am I going to get married? I know I keep talking about dating. Obviously you can tell I'm single. We just had Valentine's Day, right? Like you can tell. So, but if somebody comes to me and says, when am I going to get married? My spirit team is what I call them, angels, ancestors, highlight beings. They will typically show me, oh, well, she's asking when she's going to get married, but we got to talk about these other three things first before we get her into the energetic alignment of bringing that in. Because Delisa, if you tell her like, oh, she can find her person, this is what this person's going to be like. And we don't really want her with that kind of frequency. We think that she can do better. So it's like this whole dialogue that basically is designed to, what I say, like get the person to level up. It's like to really heal. Because somebody that you might attract in today at a certain frequency that you're at, like 5 years from now, you might wish that you weren't married to them anymore. So it's not always as black and white as a simple question like that. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I love that you're willing to pull on those threads, because I think it is something that a lot of us, when we think of, you know, somebody who's psychic, that, or that there's something set, right? That there's something set that's going to be seen. And also in my work, I see it as there's many potential pathways. And like you, that as we level up, other options are available that weren't available perhaps when we first asked the question. But the part that is, you know, guiding, I think that's part of it too, is when you're speaking about this, that makes a difference. Like what part of us is actually in the driver's seat. Yeah.
Absolutely.
In your work right now, I know that you're doing also circle work, and I'm curious about how, you know, you're working individually. And then I also believe that when we work collectively, something else shifts. And I know that your circles do some things like the moon gatherings, of which I just to forward pace everybody, we've got a beautiful gift from Delisa. That's a new moon gift. We'll talk about a little later. But what I wanted to ask is, in these circles, something else is available by gathering more people together. What happens?
I think it's amplified energy. Hmm. I think people coming together with an intention to have fresh starts, to start something new. That's the new moon gatherings that I do online that are really amazing. And I think people coming together with, yes, let's do new things. Let's create something new. I mean, it just keeps amplifying it. So everyone that's in that space, whether they can join us live on Zoom or, they enjoy the recording afterwards, both are available, that they just are able to like take a bath in that energy. And so by being a part of it, I feel that you just get so many layers that maybe you aren't even aware of when you bring a group like that together. But I do love new moons. I like to focus on new moons.
Yes, that's an incredible place for beginning, isn't it?
It is. And I'm an astrology student with a school out of the UK. And when I started learning astrology, and with all of the psychic stuff that I experience, wow, let's blend these two together. So I do like astrology forecast and tarot forecast. I talk about the new moon and how to work with the energy. But then I also, like I explained a few minutes ago about like pulling up somebody's energy and like looking at it, I create a channeled piece, which is for energy, like dissolving anything that's holding you back and then bringing in the new energy. And it's channeled with the mindset and intention of aligning it with the new moon energy. Right. And so it's just all kinds of goodness and awesomeness.
We're in Aries new moon energy, big time, 2 months in a row. So this is a really rich time. What would be particular about this kind of energy coming in with the new moon?
Yeah. And just like you said, Kari, it's a back-to-back Aries new moon. So the one in March, we are still very much in that energy right now. This is an ideal time to activate things that are aligned with that Aries characteristic. And I'll just add on that in April, it is still Aries new moon, but it's also a solar eclipse. So the gift that we're going to give everybody, that's going to be really amazing with the solar eclipse there too. The Aries words I would use and how you can kind of embody this, like Aries, they go for it. This is not like a timid, you know, like, oh, I might make a goal. Maybe I'll go for it. Maybe I won't. I don't know. No, Aries is like, I'm here. I'm in the room. So when you're thinking about it in terms of a new moon energy, which is new beginnings, fresh starts, like what do you want to manifest? You're going to want to embody it like an Aries, like confidence. That you know that you're bold, and Aries a little bit, like, because there's high side, low side of every sign. There will likely be March and April, a need to figure out what's really for me and what's really for us. Because as I'll talk about in the April gathering, we're shifting into the axis now of Aries Libra. It's me or I and them. Mm-hmm. So how do you work with what you need versus what everyone else might need. So there's going to be a lot of relationship dynamics coming up over the next several months.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you for that little breath. I mean, we have, we're in a pocket of time right now, which is really dynamic. So it's nice for people to be with like, okay, this is the dynamic that we're in. And this is some of the energy that we're feeling. And in your invitation, you know, as we live our best life right now, like what that means in terms of actually being willing to take, you know, some responsibility and look at the pieces, right? I'm curious, I'm just going to thread back a little bit. When you're, what you notice when people are getting ready to deal with or work with pieces, do you notice any particular kind of like either ors, like people are in spaces, like patterns that you're noticing that people are tracking, especially right now that we're getting ready to shift? Is that in your field?
I had a lot of people that really need healing around self-worth and value. And I know that it's because I had to do a lot of work around it, a lot of work around it. And I think as a practitioner, I've learned that the universe sends you people that you're going to know how to work with because you've been through it. So self-worth a million times. The other group that I tend to attract in are rescuers, and I've been there. And it's the person that feels like they have to give and do things for other people in order to feel lovable, to feel safe, to feel approved of. And so they overgive to a point of exhaustion, and then they get angry, and they wonder why nobody's showing up for them. And they wonder why they're left in their life, not living the life that they want to live. So those are the two groups I get a lot of, and I love working with those clients. I love it.
And for those of you who are listening right now, because we're, you know, we've got this beautiful big audience, what would you say to somebody who is struggling with, you know, those two big pieces? Because those are big pieces that I also would say are they're also things that I would say are enculturated in our culture right now in some ways that we're, I wouldn't say necessarily encouraged, but it is a belief system we're swimming in, especially as women, that our self-worth and also our being a victim or somehow overgiving come into part of how we get our worth.
Yeah, I think a lot of it, at least in my experience, comes down to, you know, how'd you get here? You know, how'd you get here? And again, I'm not a therapist, but I ask the questions to get them to reflect on when and why did they start making those choices to become a rescuer, or who had you feeling like you weren't good enough? You know, what have you been showcasing as a part of who you are that may not be authentic to your heart? And what I mean by that is I even see in some clients, they'll want to be judged by how they look, like, oh, I want to be prettier, or I need to be thinner, you know, in order to have blank. And it's really calling the crap out, right? I mean, you know, they believe that at that point in their journey, but it's to say, oh, let's look at this a little bit differently. But I think at the end of the day, so much of it comes down to how you feel about yourself and your own value. And so unless you heal the parts of yourself that need to be forgiven, you know, forgiveness and grace towards other people that have trespassed against you, perhaps, right? Until you're like, you know what? I'm going to let it all. I'm going to let the shackles go. And I'm going to start brand new. And I'm going to love myself like I've never loved myself before. And I'm going to do it so fiercely that it's not going to matter what anyone thinks of me anymore. And so that's a lot of that inner work that we do, but it's possible. And I don't think it takes that long to start cracking into it and making the shifts and getting it done, but there has to be the willingness to do it. Cause even like I'll have a client that will start doing work and there's momentum and I'm there for accountability. I'm like, okay, you told me this is what's going to happen last week. So did it happen? Right. And I've noticed that if they aren't present with the process, mm-hmm. that they may sabotage in a way that like they might cancel right before their next session. Oh, sorry. you know, I've got something that came up and I'm like, oh,
or double really? Book or get sick or have something with the kids.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Right. There's a way
and that's when you
keep ourselves from the growing.
That's when you know, at least as a practitioner, to be aware of those things. But even as the client or the individual, if you find yourself coming up with the reasons not to go, not to do the work, not to meditate, right? Not to extend forgiveness, like whatever it is, that's part of the indicator of what needs or what's asking to be healed.
Yeah, thank you. And that for all of you who are listening to just like feeling on your heart what that is. I love for these interview series, I really want them to be places where you're doing your work as we're speaking. So kind of drop into the field. Delisa and I have, you know, a pretty good field going right now that you can just kind of be with. This is a place to question and it's safe. It's safe to be in these bigger, more vulnerable places right now. Yeah. Delisa, as we're getting close to wrapping up, and I have a question that I've just been so curious to ask. So I'm going to jump in there, even though it feels it's kind of coming out of left field here. But in your bio, you talk about being part of helping to, you know, find in some missing cases and some cold cases. And I love that you use a word, and I think it was you were honored to, or that it was your privilege. It was your privilege. And to me, that really says something about the experience of how you hold your gifts and also what it is to work with the other energies or spirits or other planes. And can you maybe just share a little bit about the experience that comes to you? The reasoning being, so many of us watch movies in which the psychic figures out what's happening, and there's sort of like a creepy undertone, or there's something going on that feels dark and heavy. And I have a feeling that your experience of doing this, even though you're working within, you know, the cases that are hard, is held in a way that is asking for some way of holding the person in respect. What has happened for you?
Yeah, it's a beautiful way of putting it, Kari. So how I typically like to work when it comes to looking at missing persons or somebody who's died under mysterious circumstances, I typically will ask for a photo. I don't want anything in the photo. I just really want their face and their first name. And I like tuning in and asking the spirit if they've crossed over. Or the person who may be missing. And I just start asking questions. It's that Gemini rising in me and my Sagittarius sun. Like, I'm just very inquisitive. But I'll ask them questions, just like they're a client who's alive on the earth plane that I'm talking to. And so I tune into their energy and I say, tell me what happened. And then I just sit back and I let the information come in, just like I was, you know, reading a client. And then I share that information with their loved one. So I've, you know, had parents come to me that are going through, you know, criminal justice system cases or a case with their loved one. I had a lady come to me. This is when I was first starting. And she said, our friend's missing, you know, and I could see this gentleman and I could see what was happening to him. And I could tell that he was no longer alive. They hadn't found him or the details at that point. But it's a craft in a way.
Yes.
Because you want to come from a place of heart and integrity. And you also know that the spirit or this person is giving you information. So you have to be a good steward of the messages so that you don't make things worse.
Yes.
And if I'm playing Pictionary and bringing in all this information, my interpretations are only as good as I can perceive them from the other side. So there are things that are very symbolic that come through and there are things that are very literal. And I don't always know if it's symbolic or literal until we start having the conversation about the person. And I start to then see more things evolve and more pieces of the story come together. But to have this gift, in my opinion, there is an element outside of, you know, talking about relationships and finances and should I move to Mexico? Like, there should be another piece of this where you are looking at things that are very sensitive. I just kind of an interesting side note. I cannot look, as me, Delisa, at pictures of things that are like bruises or cuts or there's no way I could be a nurse ever. But what I found so interesting is when a private detective or a family member show me autopsy photos or crime scene photos, it's like they transport me someplace else and I could look at it through a psychic lens and the photos don't bother me. But I remember doing a session, I did a few for a family member of a woman who was murdered. And after my first session with her mother, I was driving down the freeway and up on the billboard flashes the woman who was murdered. And it was the synchronicity of, oh my God. And I take those God winks as like, you're on the right path. You're doing good work. Like, keep going. Because it was completely unexpected that I was going to see the woman who was murdered that I was communicating with driving down the freeway up on the billboard. They were asking for information on her case. And you just look at that and you go, oh, you know, it hits you in the heart because there's so many pieces and people and emotions involved in cases like that. But I do my best. I'm not perfect. And I show up with integrity. But in any of the ways that I can help, and I do help, I'm grateful that I'm able to do that.
Thank you. Thank you for that work. It is, you know, it is a beautiful way that I see our society starting to be willing to especially when used to called into an investigation and they're, you know, we're looking for all the information we can get, that we're starting to integrate in some ways the surface level of society and reality and then the multiple levels of, you know, people who have more gifts and information. And that's exciting to me. It's exciting.
Me too. I love it. I really love it because if we can start to really bring in our gifts, all of us, regardless of what the gift is, and we can start to show up in a world where like, here's my gift, here's what I can bring to the table, and we start to work together in unison, I mean, we could literally do anything is possible at that point.
And speaking into that space, you know, those who are here listening, a gift as Delisa has, which is, you know, multiple levels of, you know, being psychic and having all of this information coming through, and then the intuitive levels and the parts that are just having an extra knowing. I also want to say, like, gifts also are about being someone who can speak clearly and explain to people what's happening. You know, those of us who are translators, there are so many different kinds of gifts that are not all in the psychic realm, and just sort of laying those out, that there's so many subtleties of how if we care for and blossom those, we get to actually become more in our alignment.
Absolutely. Let's do it. Let's do it.
Let's do it, Delisa. Let's
Amen.
Do it.
Amen.
Here we go.
Amen.
It's just been so much fun speaking with you. Is there anything on your heart or anything that's weighing that we haven't actually touched on that feels like it wants to be heard today?
I share this quote all the time. And so anyone that follows my work, they've heard it, but it's Rumi. And the quote is, live life as if everything is rigged in your favor. And I think if we can breathe that in and embody that everything is actually working out for us, not to us, it just shifts the energy in massive ways.
Oh, I love that quote. That is, I think back to that question, you know, how do I live my best life right now? I also feel like that is a beautiful response to it too. Yeah, live as though everything is rigged in my favor. Mm-hmm. Delisa, for people who want to find you and get hold of you, what's the best way to discover you?
Spirit and spiritandspark.com, all spelled out, spiritandspark.com, Facebook and Instagram and YouTube, Spirit and Spark. I tried to make it easy so everybody could find me.
And I also found if you Google your name, you'll also be found on Spirit.
Oh, if they know how to spell my name. Yeah. If they know how to spell it. Yes.
Beautiful. And your wonderful gift that you're giving. Thank you for your generosity. This is a new moon gift. We have just moved through this moon. We're right at the cusp of one new moon, and in a month will be the next new moon. And the event is going to be on April 15th. Is that correct? Yes.
That is. It's April 15th. I do it on a Saturday. And I would say join us live if you can, but I know everyone's got stuff going on. I record it. So as long as you register, you'll get the recording afterwards. And the Zoom gathering is about 45 minutes, I would say. And yeah, it's going to be the new moon and the solar eclipse is actually on April 20th. So I'm doing this 5 days before on the 15th. Yeah.
Full time. Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's going to be so juicy. And so I would say, come join us on the 15th. Or if you're like, well, I really want to do it on the 20th, you'll have the recording that you can always listen back to on the 20th. But there is something special about being there live, but yeah, it's going to be fun. So it's the new moon in Aries and the solar eclipse, that new moon that we'll be diving into the energy with and working with on April 15th. It's at the last degree of Aries with the solar eclipse. So this is like what the new moon right now in Mars is feeling like. This one in April is going to feel like it kicks it up a notch with the intensity. Yeah, we're going to work through it together.
That's beautiful. I love that. It's all coming on the tail of this event, Wild and Awake, which is an invitation to all of you to wake up into yourselves, to wake up into your curiosity, expanding your consciousness, and being with questions and situations like this conversation today. There may be parts of it that feel really in resonance, and there might be parts that are making you think differently or parts that are pulling up your yes or your no. And that is all invited here. We're actually not telling you what to do or to think, but actually inviting you to think and inviting you to explore yourself. Welcome everyone here. Thank you for being here today. Thank you to Lisa and aloha.
Thank you, Kari.